homeowner that was. Uh-oh.
No, that's all
right. Oh, I'm sorry. Are we still on?
Yep.
We still on, everybody?
Yep.
Okay. Yeah, if there was a homeowner who had a septic system leaking into the pond, they'd be required to fix it. This is the same thing. No one has told us to fix the supposed leaking septic tank. I'm sorry, but I don't buy it unless I have data. Someone's observation and saying what they assume is happening is not, to me, data. And the other thing is, Kathy, if we are not going to be allowed to have any usage of our beaches or outhouses this year, there's no need to do anything. Keep them locked, keep them there, and we're going to save a ton of money in taxes on not having to do anything this year because the state has deemed so.
We don't have to put the porta potty in, Jay. We can still clean this thing up so that they're not leaking. I make a motion to instruct Kelly to remove the outhouses and allocate $1,000 for doing so.
Adam has made a motion. Do you get that, Donna?
Yeah.
Donna's writing it down.
Yeah.
Do we have a time frame on that?
To be done before June 15th.
Do I have a second on that motion?
Well, we'll second the motion for discussion.
Okay.
Well, I think
we may be told, and this is what Madison is doing, they're waiting for guidance from the state as to whether they can open their beaches this year. They're not even sure if they're going to be putting porta potties in because what's the point? People aren't even going to be, they're going to be afraid to even use them. Here's another thing to think
about. We're not talking about porta potties. We're just talking about dismantling the old outhouses. That's what the motion is.
Okay. But if without the cost of
right. porta potties, which you're right, if the beaches aren't open, why go down that road? But we know there's a problem. I think you're in agreement. There's a problem with the outhouses that they should not be used. Okay.
No, I don't. So, I don't agree. There's a problem. I agree that there's trash in them. I know that. I've seen it.
But you know there's a problem that we can't clean them.
I know that's a problem. Yes.
Okay. So.
But if we don't use them, we don't have to clean them. If we don't use them, we don't have to close them down.
But at some point, they will not be reopened, basically. So if we agree that those outhouses, if they're locked now, that they will not be reopened, whether it's this summer or next summer, they will not be reopened.
Can I give my two cents before we get all crazy again?
Kelly is the one here.
My two cents. I'm just as an observation. Once we do this, there's no turning back. We tear them down, they're not coming back. You need to realize the fact that people are going to be driving through the district looking at these god-awful plastic porta-potties sitting on the side of the road in our beautiful community of Idlewise, and there's no turning back. You're going to have porta-potties at the beaches. Just the sound of it doesn't sound good. It just sounds like we're turning – I'm sorry, people from Revere, but it looks like Revere Beach to me. You might as well put, you know, you have a beautiful community with these outhouses that fit in, they're painted brown, they look rustic, they look country. I don't think we've exhausted every avenue of reactivating what we have. And even if it costs a little money to do it this year or next year, you're not going to be paying porta potties every year for here to eternity to have those taken care of and brought in. You get on the right system of getting them pumped once a year, for much less than porta potties would cost over the course of a summer, and you get to keep the look and the feel of Idlewise with these are brand new basically. We rebuilt 2 years ago. They're in great shape. Even if we had to contact, I wasn't part of this whole thing. I wasn't part of contacting the septic companies or who would do it, who wouldn't do it. Of course, put my foot in it. I'd like to take a shot at this and see if I can find someone to pump them. See if there actually is a leak. Like Jay said, if no one's using them, there wouldn't be any notice of it. There wouldn't be any fluid. You ask anybody that knows anything about seepage. Seepage happens in a septic field. You can have your septic field within so many feet of your water source without any effect. I don't think it's affecting the ponds. Don't take my word on it, but there's very little being put into those outhouses that would ever affect anything to do with the water system, my feeling. But I don't, I like this community. I like the way it looks. I don't want to see plastic porta potties strewn without throughout the district. You've got an issue with Thusis Beach. You can't put porta potties over the existing houses because you can't get a truck in there to pump them. They can't go in the same spot. The truck cannot get in there. We're going to have a heck of a time getting in there to tear them down. So I don't think the whole plan's been thought through. Give me a week, see if I can get someone to pump these and go back to some sanity with this thing. It's up to you guys, but I'm just putting my foot in it.
All right. If you want to do that, Kelly, I appreciate that. And if you can get some feedback to us in, what, 1 or 2 weeks, you said?
Give me 1 week.
1 week.
If no one answers the phone, you guys can do what you want.
All right.
So I'll amend the motion to say, unless Kelly can find a alternative solution in 7 days.
Now, why don't we give it 2 weeks? I'd like to make it 2 weeks. I want to amend it to 2 weeks just because there could potentially be some callbacks and site visits, et cetera. So give them 2 weeks.
That's fine. That's all fine. Right. So it'll get done by June 15th unless Kelly has an alternative in the next 2 weeks.
All right. So the motion has been amended. Do we have an approval of the amendment? All in favor, say aye.
Yes.
Yes.
Okay. I'm going to say no. Okay. Now we have the motion on the floor. Give Kelly 2 weeks to find an alternative solution for getting...
That's not the motion on the floor. The motion on the floor is to get it done by June 15th, unless Kelly can find an alternative solution in the next 2 weeks.
Okay. Do you got that down, Donna?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, Donna has it. Okay, do we have any further discussion on that motion? Okay, all in favor say aye.
Yes.
Yes.
Who seconded it?
Kathy did. The motion was made, then amended.
Amended. Oh, okay. All right.
And that passed. So now we're just reading the motion and voting on it. And Kathy, you voted how?
And I seconded it originally, so I vote yes on the amended motion.
Okay, and I'm going to vote no. I don't think it's a priority at this point. Okay, go ahead, Kathy.
One of the things that was brought up at one of the public hearings was that I believe it was Gloria mentioned that there was a town, I don't know if it was Wolfboro maybe, that has porta potties inside of a wooden structure to camouflage them a little bit. So there is some possibilities of that. Unfortunately, I don't think we can put them in the existing outhouse buildings because Kelly couldn't get into them to fill them without breaking up the floor. So, and I don't think you can do that without damaging the building.
Right. Okay.
Unless maybe he can, you know, if there's a way to open the floor up enough to get in there, to fill them, and then reseal the floor and slide the outhouses into the building. I mean, I don't know what the dimensions are, but there's always that possibility.
Okay.
Yeah, I don't know if the way they put those houses out, Kathy, you think they got to back right up to the door to unload them and reload them?
I don't know.
Maybe on some of them they could, but not on Thusis.
Okay, Boulder Beach maybe because they're close enough to the road.
Right.
Idlewild Beach maybe. Okay, all right. So anyway, get some food for thought. Okay, all right.
Let's swing back to Donna. Administrative reports. How are you doing on the water bills?
The water bills are coming in great. The new online system seems to be working quite well. People seem to be pleased that that's happening. So that's about it on the water bills.
Okay.
Hello?
Yes, this is Dinah. May I comment? Mm-hmm.
Yeah, go ahead, Dinah.
When we started this billing system that Donna is doing, I was under the impression that the water user was going to pay the fee, $3 for the check or another percentage for the credit card.
Correct.
They do.
I just looked at the account, and we have $583.45 in charges from Intuit. So the charges are going back to the usage account. They are not going to the customers.
Are we getting charged as well as the customer? Is there anybody on the phone call now that has actually used this system yet? And can they tell us if they...
Who's being charged if we're being charged? All I'm saying is we're footing the bill for this to the tune of $583 so far. And that $583 is processing $4,400 worth of payments.
Okay. I just want to... reach back to anybody that's on the call. Has anybody tried using the online system and using a credit card or check? Anybody? Okay, I guess that's
nope.
A no. I wanted to see what their charges were on their end.
Well, we can reach out to Rhonda. Maybe today, Donna, we should call Rhonda and find out. I was under the understanding that if somebody paid their $400 water bill, we got $400 and they got billed $403.
That was my assumption.
Yeah.
Well, it comes out that a $400 check payment, they charge our account for $3.
Huh.
Okay.
That's not the way we set it up, or we thought. So Donna can call Rhonda today to figure that out. Okay.
I don't know how we're going to get the money back. I hope we can, but...
Yeah. Okay.
Well, thank you for bringing that to our attention.
Thank you.
Thank you, Dinah. Anything else, Donna?
The only question I have is I'm getting a lot of calls for the water turnback-ons, and yeah. I have to know what to tell the people because I don't know the date.
Mm-hmm.
And Ian also doesn't. He has to be made aware. He can't just...
Right.
You know, work it into a schedule if we decide a date. So that's something that when I talked to him yesterday, he didn't, I heard under the assumption that it was May 1st.
Yeah.
But he didn't hear anything. So I don't want to be telling people the wrong information.
So in our water ordinance, that's the first Friday of May. Am I correct on that, Kathy and Adam?
Yep.
Yeah.
That
and
right.
That was the discounted rate of $50. To be turned back on. And I think the way it would work, Donna, is that when people call in, you also need to tell them that someone needs to be at the house when Ian arrives.
Okay.
We don't just turn water on to a house and then walk away because in some cases, you may see it coming out the basement windows a few hours later. So there has to be a presence of someone over the age of 18 at the house at the time that the water is turned on. And then the list of names and addresses, and if you can get their phone number, because some people like to call and say, are you going to be here within the next hour or two, because we plan on going out. But communication is always good. And then Ian should know the list of these people as well.
Okay. So do I contact Ian to say it's the first Friday then?
Yeah. Yeah, you can just refer to the ordinance.
Okay. All right.
Okay.
We have to set a price for... If they don't want it done on that day, we need to tell them that it's some amount of money. I believe the number prior to December 31st this year should be $100, and after December 31st should be $130. That would be what Ian's prevailing rate is.
I think, Adam, what the ordinance says is whatever the water operator charges, the homeowner will be responsible for.
Right, and I'm telling you, it was $100 until December 31st. And it's now $130.
Okay.
So at the very least, we can convey that information to them. But we are in a situation where, let's say, Ian is here in the district some days, but he's not on others. We're in a situation, and this ordinance may need to be modified again. We're in a situation where if Ian's in the district and he's going to be a lot this summer, he might say, "Yeah, I can run over to Geneva, or I can run over to Little Shore and turn their water on real quick." And he might say, I'm not going to bill you guys because it's 10 minutes and I'm here. Whereas somebody else, he might not be here for, and he makes a special trip out here, and they are going to get billed for 2 hours of his time. I think the board needs to decide. We should have it as this is what it is. And it's not whatever he bills us. It's because one person, we may not get billed anything for one, and we may get billed 130 for another. I think we're setting ourselves up for a potential disaster.
Yeah, there has to be a set number that is continuous for all people.
Obviously, it needs to be $130. It needs to be his two-hour wage. It's a worst-case scenario for us. The district can't lose, and it would encourage people to save the $80 by doing it the day we set it up.
Yeah, I think Donna has been informing those callers that it is $130, so I say we keep it at $130.
Well, we need to change the ordinance to clarify what that would be, because right now, as it stands, that's not how it stands. So we should be adding this to the list of ordinance changes whenever that meeting happens to make all the modifications on all the ordinances.
Okay, yeah, Donna's jotting that down now. Okay, perfect.
So you guys all agree that that's how it needs to be?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that makes sense. Yep. It just eliminates any confusion.
Okay.
Okay, good point, Adam. Thank you.
You're welcome.
All right. We got some correspondence from number 4, Gretchen Drive. This we talked about a little bit last week on the ponding, and we talked about the solution. But there's also, did they send an email in about the water bill or the single family?
Yes, and I rectified that with the town.
You did?
Yep. I got a tax card from Linda Shackford, and it is a single family home.
Yep.
And I did switch the bill for the gentleman.
Okay. So that was a resident. They've actually been living here for 9 years when they purchased the home from a previous owner. And I believe the home was being occupied by two families. But they've been here as a single family for 9 years and never understood why they were getting two water bills.
Oh, no.
Yeah. So
They've been paying both water bills?
Yep. So anyhow, when I went to look at the ponding, the gentleman was already outside. And he was questioning me about the, because everybody just got the water bill, and I said, you'll have to clarify that with the town. So apparently he did, and Linda Shackford had sent, or he did, I think, sent the correspondence from the town to us.
Linda did. Yeah.
Okay, great. So he's a single family resident. They're actually moved up here now permanently, and so that's good news for them, I guess. So... that was number 4. The employee handbook. That's next on the list. So I'll tell you, I've been going through that, and I'm just looking for it.
Right
behind me.
There it is. Thank you.
Now, do you have the copy that's got numerous sections striped through from Doug Mansfield from the attorney's office?
Yeah, that's the one I'm looking at. And I think this was the copy that you would looked at as well. And I'm not sure who wrote some of the comments in there, but, you know, they're helpful as well. And so what I've been doing is I'm going through section by section, and then I'm going to put together the questions that I have on each section. And what I'd like to do is I asked Donna yesterday, and I didn't get a chance to send this to her. But in order to see those red lines, we actually have to print the document because it doesn't show up on our computers, right? Is that the problem we all noticed, is that there was only one red line if you look at it on the computer? Yeah.
I found it impossible to go through, which is why I use the hard copy, and then I edit.
Right.
I was the one who put a couple of comments in the margins, and then I left it there for you guys. I don't think I put too many comments in. I raised a couple of questions. There shouldn't have been very much.
Yeah. So I think to help speed this up, what I'd like to do is that we can either make a copy of what's right in front of me here, and then each one of us have it. I'm putting together my list. I've gotten through far so far, if that's the right way of saying it. And so I'd like everybody else to be seeing the same thing as opposed to passing this around like a football. So I'm going to ask Donna to maybe print.
Are you putting comments on a separate piece of paper or on that document?
On a separate piece of paper. And it will be identified by section and by line item or paragraph. That's how I'm making it easy.
I said, Jay, why don't you, if you're almost done doing that, why don't you let me know when you've done that? Adam's already done it. If you've gotten through it, the majority of it, let me know, and then I can go in some evening, leave it right in the office so it doesn't leave the office, and I'll go through it, and I'll do the same thing.
Okay. Well, why don't we just make an extra copy, and you can actually start it. That's what I'm trying. I'm trying to speed it up. You can start it on it today.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay. Great.
Just
great.
Okay. All right. Whatever. If that would expedite it, go ahead and do that. How many? What? 100 pages?
Maybe about 60 or 70.
Okay.
Okay. Great. Thank you.
Okay. All right, so send me a note when that's done. If it's done today or tomorrow, I'll come pick it up over the weekend.
Okay. And if we remember from last week, Tamer Roberts, the auditor, asked us to amend the minutes of the 2020 annual meeting, in particular Article Number 2, which was the bond for the truck. And we never agreed if we were going to do that or not. So I guess my question is, do we want to amend those minutes to be more clear? I thought what Donna took down was probably verbatim, and then when Paula Doyle stood up to speak, she actually spoke to why we had changed the number from 24,000 to 12. It was the first year's payment.
Right.
But I think what Tamer was asking for is that language be as part of the amendment itself. So do we want to do that just for more clarity? It doesn't change anything.
No, but, I mean, do the minutes reflect that there was a motion made on the floor to amend the warrant article to change the 24,000 to 12,000? Is that clear in the minutes?
It's there in the minutes, but what Tamer was saying is that the original price for the truck, which is to raise and appropriate $108,000, and then the amendment was to lower it to $12,000 from 24. That's also part of the entire article in that the first year's payment was going to be $24,000, but since we're only paying 6 months of it, it's actually half at $12,000.
Right, but you can't. I don't think you can go back. You can't go back and change the original warrant article.
Right.
So we have to leave the 108 plus the 24, which was 132, because I struggled with getting that warrant article entered to begin with. And she said, nope, that's the way you have to do it. So that's there. That we can't change. So as long as DRA is happy with the language in the minutes, and it's clear that the amendment was to change the first year's payment from 24 to 12, I think
that's clear. Paula Doyle had made that very clear.
Okay,
it's in
and
the
minute. The amendment got seconded and voted on, and... Okay.
Yeah, I think it's fine. I read it again, and I said, I'm not sure I understand Tamer's. I understand initially what she might have thought, but if you read the discussion points that Paula Doyle made, it's pretty clear.
Okay.
So, do we want to?
Should somebody reach out to Michelle Clark at DRA, or just? I don't think she's reviewed all of our changes to the warrant articles at this point. It looks like they're all still pending.
Yeah, Donna has actually submitted the minutes, so they are with
right.
Michelle. I'm sure she's probably not gotten to them yet, but we can have
right.
Donna. Have Donna send her an email and ask her if that's clear. Article number 2.
Okay.
Does there need to be more clarity in the language of that article and the amendments?
Yeah. You can't go back and change the amounts. That you can amend them, but you can't change them.
Right. Okay.
Okay. All right. So that may
all
be
right.
The way to do it. Okay.
Yeah, and she also sent this week a draft of the final audit. This is the second one.
Yeah.
And I don't know if everybody's had a chance to read that. I still have some questions as to how she got to some of the numbers that she did, because they changed from the first draft that she had, some of the final numbers.
Mm-hmm.
So... I got to go through it again and look at her numbers. But the other question I have, and she has as well, is do we want to have, and I have one of her previous audit books here in front of me, do we want to have the commissioner's management report
Well, she indicated that most towns and village districts do not do that. She basically put the summary of the finances in what did you say, pages 2 through 4, I guess, as to the community practices, et cetera. She said, you have one of the smallest budgets of any of the districts that I deal with. So she said, I don't know. It's up to you. She said, I don't see it. She doesn't have an opinion either way, but most towns and municipalities do not do that.
Yeah. I know. Go ahead, Dinah.
We've always done this before. The commissioners have always written up something about the year.
That's what I was going to say, is it's been consistently done. Should we continue that process that has been done previous to us? This year is a little bit confusing if you do read her final report, because she does mention the over expenditure of the operating budget, but then says that because of some unused warrant articles, that money offsets the over expenditures that we had. Now, the audience and most everybody in Idlewise is aware that we did have a public hearing for an over expenditure back in January 25th. And so I think it'd be worthwhile to keep that management report and somehow explain how that outcome came to be.
Well, if you want to, I mean, Jay, if you feel comfortable writing the report, kind of using the prior report as a outline, she wants to get the final draft. She wants to get the audit done this week, hopefully. And this would push it out another week anyway, because we'd have to, you know, review the letter next Thursday.
Right. Okay. What I'll do is, again, I'll read the report again. If I have any questions, I'll ask her. And this management report is basically, all the ones I've looked at, there's really only one paragraph that we pretty much asked. And it's relevant to the exact numbers. So I'll just keep it the same, except that one paragraph will be based on the actual numbers from this year. I'll put it out as a draft, share it with everybody, and then we can come back at another meeting and discuss whether we want to put that in or not.
Right. And I talked to her yesterday, too, just from the accounting side of it. I finally got an opportunity to talk to her for about an hour. And there's there's multiple QuickBooks postings that she recommends that we put into our QuickBooks to get us more in line with the Gadsby process of especially the capital reserve funds and making sure all those numbers line up, because there was some discrepancies that we talked about earlier. So we've got to make some journal entries to adjust for that.
Okay.
Well,
all right,
Jane, if you're gonna write this up, I don't think we can just use the same format as last year, because we're gonna need to explain that we may have had an unnecessary meeting, and that's part of what the confusion is. I mean, the reality is, if we didn't overexpend the budget, then we need to say we didn't overexpend the budget, and people are going to scratch their heads unless we say, you know, what happened, why there's a difference, and that the January meeting was unnecessary, and that we spoke erroneously back in November when we reported that we were going to overexpend the budget. I mean, we've been spreading misinformation, which is a big mistake. If that's truly what her report is.
But what he's saying is, in the management letter, the majority of it is just an overview of our accounting practices and not necessarily specific to that year's budget. So Jay's saying there's only one paragraph that relates to the actual year's budget numbers.
Right, and that's the one that I think is going to require an additional couple of sentences stating that there's some confusion here, and here's why, and we did this wrong, and we shouldn't have done this, and there was no reason to report an over expenditure, and we're sorry for the confusion, and blah, 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 blah.
Yeah. Well, she's saying that there, anyway,
let's say write it. I'm just pointing this out so we don't waste another week talking about it.
Yeah.
Okay.
But I think when you go back to that RSA that required us to have that public hearing, you'll be you'll see in it that it's talking about your operating budget, not your. Now we have two budgets. a water budget and an operating budget, which are completely separated. In her report, she puts those two together, and that's not the way DRA looks at it. They don't even want to hear about our water budget. They have nothing to do with it. So I think we complied with the rules and regulations of the DRA by going to them with the fact that we did overexpend our operating budget. So I'll put something together, but, you know, we'll have opportunity to review it before the next time we talk about it, okay?
Yeah, okay. All right.
Moving on, I think we talked about the water bills. Thank you, Donna.
Yeah.
Hey, I want to go back to the – we got a request a form here for the transfer of funds. So, Adam, you had brought up a motion last week for $5,000 for SW Coal to do the ledge probes. And we got that now. We got that contract from SW Coal. And I'm a little confused if we maybe not have put enough money into it. So they're saying it's going to be one day work, or is it $2,500 a day, but we don't know how many days?
I didn't talk to SW Coal. Chris Albert talked to SW Coal.
Okay.
I believe, if I'm not mistaken, I can't remember. I believe Chris said they could do them all in one day. I'm not sure. What did SW Coal put in the contract?
Yeah, they had in the contract $2,500 one day, but it also specified that either Ian Hayes or Chris Albert would have to be on site to take down the readings of the measurements that will be taken from these probes.
Yeah, that was why it was $5,000. It was going to be some amount for SW Coal and then some amount for either Chris or Ian. So why don't we send that contract proposal to Chris Albert for his opinion, and as long as he says, yeah, that's what it should be, that's enough, then we're good. So I'll make a motion that we accept that contract pending Chris Albert's approval.
Okay. Do we have a second?
I'll second that.
Okay, Kathy. Okay, discussion? I just want to make sure that we have enough money between SW Coal, who's giving us a separate contact, and I guess I don't know what the costs are going to be from either Chris or Ian, if they're the ones doing the measurements.
Well, Ian's $65 a day, so if he's here all day, we're looking at $500. So,
yeah, that was a concern I had, too. So we're basically going to be putting down on a clipboard the measurements of this probe until it hits ledge. And we can either pay Chris Albert, and I'm probably sure he's a little bit more than Ian, or Ian, $65 an hour. Is there a requirement to have such a high-priced individual writing down numbers onto a piece of paper?
We should be doing this with the professionals. These guys are the ones who are going to own this project. They need to own this thing from start to finish. Do not get cheap to try to save $200 on a project that's going to be worth millions.
I think it makes sense to have Ian do it. Because, A, he's familiar with the water system. He knows where those water lines are potentially going to be going. So I agree, you know, spending $150 an hour for an engineer versus $65 an hour for Ian, it makes sense to get Ian involved with this.
Why don't we ask Chris what he thinks? And say, or even ask Ian, say, look, here's the contract we got from SW Coal. We want to make sure that both of you think this is okay, and we want to hear from both of you if you think Ian is the right person to do this, or if Chris is the right person to do this, and see what they have to say.
All right.
They're honest people. I mean, I know they have a vested interest in saying they do, but Chris is not looking for work. He's just not looking for work. The guy's swamped.
Okay. Donna, could you reach out to Ian?
I think we should reach out to both, send the contract to both, see if either one of them objects, and say, who do you think should be there on site?
Okay.
So the motion should be Chris and Ian. So just amend that motion to Chris and Ian.
Okay. That's where I wanted to go. Okay. Thank you. You get that, Donna?
Yeah.
Okay. Okay. So motion's on the floor. All in favor sending that notice out? I say aye.
Yes.
Yes.
Okay. Motion passes. Thank you. We talked about the water turn on request. The other thing that Donna didn't mention was that she did send out a call-centric overload. We got an overload the other day. on a number of calls, I guess, coming in. So
yeah, but I think Ian said that's going to, I mean, Andrew
yeah, that
said that it happened. It's nothing we should be concerned about.
Well, actually, it's good that it happened because what it reveals is that you're getting a bunch of calls. You're very busy. So that leads me into my next piece under administration, and that is, we had gone into non-public session last week to talk about the hiring of a contractor. There was a bit of information that was required. I believe everybody has seen that. And my question is, do we need to go into non-public today to possibly either have further discussion or finalize that decision, or can we do it right now?
We probably should go into non-public at the end of the meeting.
Okay, so I'll hold that to non-public. Okay, thank you, Kathy.
Okay.
And did I see minutes from April 17th? Oh, yes, I'm sorry. Those are my minutes from the
Friday.
bid decision on Friday. So we have the April 17th minutes. I actually wrote those. Donna had the day off. And so I make a motion that we approve the minutes of April 17th, 2020. I believe you wanted to make – oh, no, I'm sorry. Your amendment, Adam, was to another set of minutes on 11-14. Is that right?
Yeah, I had an amendment for 11-14, but I think we need to amend these as well, or at least discuss it.
Okay. Hang on. Let me find them.
It should be at the bottom. Why did you change?
I kept everything in order, I think.
I think they were at the very bottom.
All right. Yep, here they are. You are correct. All right. Any changes to the April 17th?
Yeah, I think the minutes need to reflect that I was concerned about the conflict of interest in the discussion to give Brooks the bid instead of the low bidder, and how there was a personal conflict of interest between a commissioner and the one of the bidders.
Would that have been G.W. Brooks or Lyons or Dawson?
It was between you and Brooks.
Okay, and can you explain why you believe there was a conflict of interest?
Because you have a personal relationship with Brooks.
With Brooks, the owner, can you state who it was that I have a personal relationship with?
Cribby was the guy who's been on site. He was the guy who was I met on the walkthrough up at the Rhinoc tank. He's on the fire department with you. There's a relationship here that's unknown by me. I assume unknown by Kathy, but I know there is a relationship of some sort through the fire department, and I think that it's concerning when immediately after we had both Chris and Ian say Dawson does great work and they do all these projects for the state and in Edelweiss, that we turn around and immediately try to give this bid to a higher bidder. I don't understand it. It seems like a conflict of interest. It doesn't smell right to me.
Okay. Thank you for your opinion. First of all, you're mistaken that David Cribby is on the Madison Fire Department. He's not any longer. He's been off for some time. So I guess I'll ask some questions to sort of validate my relationship with, as you mentioned, David Cribby, who is an employee of G.W. Brooks. And can you tell me or this audience how many times David Cribby has come by my house?
Come on, Tilda. I can't. I'm concerned that there's a relationship. You guys had a prior relationship. It didn't smell right to me. You tried to give the bid to somebody who was $15,000 more. Immediately after, both our water operator and engineer both said that Dawson does good work and has worked in Edelweiss. It just didn't sit right. Now, if you want to explain why, even though our water operator and engineer both said they do a nice job, and you said I want to give the job to Brooks because I don't believe Dawson does a good job, like, explain it. like, we need an explanation.
Hey, you just said that I believe Dawson doesn't do a good job. You just stated that. Am I correct?
You were concerned about the work in which Dawson has done, and you said you were concerned about that.
No, I never said that, Adam.
All right, well,
it's recorded.
Okay. What did you say, Jay? What did you say?
I said my experience is far more with G.W. Brooks on the lower section of Oak Ridge Road, and including the tight tank that they just performed the prior week. I like the work
they
did.
Didn't they hit the water line?
They did hit the water line.
And wasn't Dawson doing work after that to help alleviate the problem? Didn't they dig the... I don't know. Wasn't Dawson involved in that right afterwards?
Dawson installed an entirely new water line.
Okay, so you said in the meeting, you said, I'm not familiar with Dawson's work. You'd worked with him a week prior. Like, something just doesn't add up. Like,
no,
let's not play semantics. Let's not play semantics. All I'm saying is, I said that in the meeting. We should not be having a back and forth on this. I questioned the integrity and whether there was a conflict of interest. The minutes should show that. That's all.
Okay, so the conflict of interest usually resolves under the fact that there's a monetary benefit to one person who has the conflict. Do you believe that I'll be receiving money or any type of
That's
monetary
not what
distribution?
A conflict of interest doesn't have to be like that. Giving a job to a friend is also a conflict of interest. Look, it's not about whether or not I'm right or wrong. You want to argue I'm wrong? Fine, argue I'm wrong, but that's not the point. The point is that in the minutes, I brought that up. The minutes should reflect that I brought that up.
Okay,
that's
the
all.
Minutes, and I will also then include in the minutes that I dispute everything that you're stating and have proven that David Kribbe is not a firefighter, even if he was, or even, let's put it this way, if any member of any of those three bidders goes to the same church that I do, and I will probably put 100% chance that they do, then is that a conflict of interest? Because unfortunately, we wouldn't be able to hire a single person, a contractor, in this valley because of some sort of relationship that they happen to belong to a same organization that I do.
I don't know. How long were you guys on the fire department? How long did you guys work together in the fire department? Can you tell us that?
I've been on the fire department for 24 years. He's been on the department for, I believe, 10.
Okay, so there's a 10-year relationship. This isn't like you guys went to the same church. There's a relationship that was roughly 10 years. It didn't sit right with me, so I brought it up. I'm concerned about the way that the tight tank project went down. Same thing. You had the information. You sent it to them. You didn't tell the board you sent it to them. It was a known issue. You refused to have a meeting. Like, I'm concerned about conflict of interest here. I brought it up. It should be in the minutes. We're getting off track.
Yes.
I know. Yes. So, Donna, can you read back my Adam's point that he believed that there was a conflict of interest?
Yep.
And
with Brooks.
G.W. Brooks.
Yeah, G.W. Brooks. Yeah. Mhm.
Okay, and Mike, response to that?
Jay wants to know who and why he had a conflict of interest with that. And Jay stated that David Kribbe is not on the fire department.
Right.
And Adam said that it didn't smell right.
Yeah. And that is David Kribbe, though I believe he's a fine firefighter, or has been.
Guys, we're off track here. We're off track. No. Because we're talking about whether or not what I said is right or not. That's not the issue. The issue is that during the meeting last week, I brought it up. It should be in the minutes. Whether or not I'm right, you want to reflect whether or not I'm right or not, should be in today's minutes for today's discussion about that. But the minutes from last Friday need to reflect the discussion that happened. If you don't like the discussion that happened, bring it up today for today's discussion about those minutes. But, like, we should be voting on whether or not that is what was said, whether that discussion happened, and it did. So that's what should be discussed for now, and we should be approving or not approving that.
Right.
Okay, so what's the motion, and what are we doing?
Yeah, I think you got it, so just... That's fine.
The minutes of April 17th should reflect that Adam brought up that there was a potential conflict of interest between a commissioner and one of the bidders, and that was why Jay wanted to give the bid to a to not the lowest bidder. That's what the amendment should be.
Yeah, and the other one that was brought up, of course, during that meeting as well was anyone on the call potentially having a conflict of interest, and we did have our water operator, and I'm glad he did this, to make it very clear, he announced that he did get requested to bid to two of those bidders for his services on this
project. We're off track again. Can we please vote on what this motion is?
Right, but that's what prompted your...
I understand we don't need to talk about Ian. We're talking about this comment that should be reflected in the minutes.
Okay. So we have the motion. Yeah. Do we have a second?
I'll second the motion.
Okay. Discussion?
So the fact that it was brought up, whether it was validated or accurate, is not the point. But the fact that there was concern that there may have been a potential conflict of interest, then it probably should be in the minutes.
Yeah, and I just, well, we can vote on it, but I just warn Adam that it makes him look bad again when you bring this kind of stuff up. It you're doing yourself harm, Adam. But, you know, we'll vote on it. It was stated. You did state it, Adam. I said nothing about it because I really didn't want to go there and prove you wrong, but we can vote on it. So all in favor, say aye.
Yes.
Yes.
Okay. Motion passes. I say no, by the way.
Well,
for obvious reason.
You're going to vote no, even though it was stated. Like, you're literally going to vote against it having minutes be accurate. This is the second time in a month you've tried to intentionally get minutes wrong. Like, I don't get it.
So, listen, Adam, the motion passed.
I'll drop it. It's fine.
Yeah, I'll abstain. I'll abstain. I did hear it. I'll abstain. It's not about whether I heard it. It's about whether it's relevant to the minutes. I don't think it is. Didn't change anything. Okay.
So, Adam, I mean, Jay, do you want to amend those minutes to indicate that you've brought up if anyone on the call had a conflict with the project being bid or awarded?
No, I don't think it's important to any part of the decision-making process. I compliment Ian for standing up and making that information known when I ask the question, because if you go into the terms of the condition of the grant, it specifically points out that no employee or governmental official shall benefit pecuniary from this grant.
Okay. All right.
So he did the right thing.
Him. He's not an employee or a whatever you just said.
No,
he's neither.
Jay did ask the question and got an answer, and it wasn't.
Oh, I agree. I agree.
Award, but you did. But you okay.
I agree. But Ian is perfectly within his rights to do this. Yeah. There's no conflict of interest.
Nobody said there was.
Right, but some people will see it that way, and so I'm glad Ian spoke up so as to not to try to disguise it. So I'm glad that happened.
Okay. All right.
Okay.
So, all right. So we're done with April 17th minutes as amended.
Yep.
Okay.
Okay. So at this point in time, I'd like to open up the phone lines to anybody who's been listening if they have any questions on any of the administrative issues that we just talked about. Hearing none, let's move on to the next section. It's actually tabled items, and I'm going to continue to have those, especially the statement of work from Iron Mountain, record keeping. That's not necessarily urgent, so I'm going to hold on that. We talked about the outhouse closure. So I want to go to accounts payable. I believe we have some checks, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Let me swing over here.
All right. Let me just add them up. I'm sorry.
Okay, Donna's going to add up the total. Looks like we have four checks.
Yep.
Ooh. Thank you. And does that number represent our balance?
That's, yes.
Yeah, okay. Wow.
Yeah.
Just a moment here, folks. We're doing some
sorry,
math.
Sorry,
That's all right.
Okay. So there's four checks for $2,613.10.
Okay. Do you want me to...
I'll read them to you if
yeah.
you want. You can sign
I
them.
I can sign them, yeah. Looks better that way.
Okay.
Don is going to read off those four checks.
Okay.
I'm going to be the initial signature on these. And
yeah.
Dinah, when you can come down, and Kathy or Adam.
Yeah.
Okay.
I have Amerigas for $306. I'd have Chadwick and Barros is for $1,209.53.
And what was that for?
That was for the brake pressure sensor on the grader and the wire harness on the grader also. And then I have Easton Propane for diesel for $561.32.
Is that what fills our big tank in DPW too?
Well, I guess it's Easton though, because Easton be Lions.
Yeah.
Okay. So is it the heating oil or the...
No, it's the diesel oil.
Oh, okay. It is the diesel. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. And then I have new business direction for $536.25. That was for the water bills to be printed off. That was Rhonda.
Oh, okay. That's what the name of her company. Okay. Okay. Do I have a motion to approve the manifest for $2,613.10? I'll make that motion. Do I have a second?
I'll second it.
Okay. Thank you, Kathy. All in favor say aye. Aye.
Yes.
Okay. Just as a side note, we have left in the budget $37,608.56. But what's happening, correct me if I'm wrong, is that water bills, and Dinah, you can speak to this as well, water bills are coming in, so we actually use that money to get ourselves until the tax receipts come in August. Okay. Anybody have any questions on the phone about the accounts payable and the manifest? And we're going to move on to payroll next. And you want to? I'll read off the cards.
Yeah.
We're going to read off the time cards for the employees. We have Kelly Robitel for the week of 4/19. 4/10. 4/10/20. We have a total of 44 hours. We have for Kelly Robitel the week of 4/17, a total of 40 hours. Jeff DiMartino, 4/10, we have 40 hours. Jeff Martino, 4/17, we have a total of 40 hours. For Tony Eldridge, the week of 4/17, we have 8 hours. For Donna McKinnon, on the week of 4/10, we have 19 hours. And Donna McKinnon for the week of 4/17, we have 25.75 hours. Okay. And we also have, these are our checks, right?
Those are your monthly for the you and Dinah.
Yeah.
The commission is in Dinah.
Yeah, it's not payroll, but it's executive pay to the three commissioners as well as the treasurer, Dinah Reese. And the three commissioners received $300, and Dinah Reese received $250 for transparency. Thank you, Donna.
You're welcome.
There you go. All right. Any questions on payroll? Great. Moving on. We have no...
You have to make a motion to approve.
Oh, I'm sorry. Make a motion to approve payroll in the amount of $5,000. $976.51. Do I have a second to that motion?
I'll second.
Okay. Any discussion on that? All in favor? Aye?
I do. Aye.
Okay. Thank you. Okay. Committee reports. I don't know. Kathy, do you want to do this now, or do you want to do it under your commissioner's report, the newsletter?
Well, it doesn't matter. If you want to, you're on here first. If you want, we talked about the financial management report already, correct?
Yep.
Okay. All right. No, on as far as the newsletter goes, we had a communications committee meeting the other night, and we're just reviewing topics to go into the upcoming newsletter. And we just wanted to ask either of you, Adam or Jay, if there were any specific topics that you would like me to include. I was going to put in just an overview of a very simplified breakdown of the Reinhardt Tank project, which I will share with both of you before we put it in the newsletter to make sure it's accurate, and about the kayak rocks, about the tight tank project. What else was I going to put in there? Let me review my notes here.
Kathy, can I interject real quick?
Yes.
I think that it seems to me that this Reinhardt Tank project needs to get bullet pointed in the newsletter with the benefits of it to everybody, because there is an effort by people to grumble and complain and whine about the project. And now there's the misconception going out there about added costs because of having to bring in temporary water and blah, 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 blah. So couple things. No temporary water is going to be needed.
Adam, I don't want to address individual comments. What I want to do is give the overview of the bids that were awarded, the scope of the work, and how it's going to be paid for. So this, in the newsletter, it's going to be a very simplified version of just So I just want to stick to that.
So we're going to be fixing the pressure on dozens of homes. That should be in there, because there's people whose homes can't even, I think somebody got up in that September meeting two Septembers ago and said they don't even know if they can get a cup of coffee when they come up here. The pressure is going to be fixed in dozens of homes. There's going to be 3 bleeders removed, which is going to save the district approximately 300,000 gallons of water annually. The water storage at Reinhardt is going to double. Currently, it is 60,000 gallons. Now we have 120,000 gallons.
Yeah, Adam, can you send all this to Kathy and I, and or Donna in bullets?
Well, I'm just
as opposed to trying
right
to
now.
Do it now. No, not now. Yeah. But I mean later.
Well, she needs it now.
I do have that information from that cost analysis that was put together by Chris and with the 3 bidders. So, I mean, I know we're doing 4,400 feet of water line replacement and extension, the 3 bleeders, the 3 PRV pits. There's going to be 7 gate valves up there. So, I mean, I do have that information.
And I'm just saying we should put into layman's terms, like 3 bleeders means 300,000 gallons of water a year. It means dozens of homes are going to have better water pressure, which is good for everybody in the district. Our storage capacity doubled. I mean, those are probably the biggest highlights, and the pipeline. I mean, those are the highlights.
Yep.
And, you know, the storage is huge. You think back to New Year's Eve 2 years ago, the district ran out of water. Mm-hmm. With this tank, that would never have happened.
Yep. Well, I do have that in there. So I don't want to overwhelm people with details, because then it becomes just they get nothing out of it. So I'm trying to be
right, and that's why I'm layman's terms, basics. 5 bullet points, whatever that was, and I think we're good.
Yep, that's all I want to do. Yep.
Kathy and Adam, just 2 things I wanted to add, and let me know what your thoughts are. One, we should probably announce now the auction of the canoes and kayaks that have been sitting down behind our garage for a long period of time. That'll be on Memorial Day weekend. We had talked about and made that.
Why are we bothering with that right now?
Because it's for the newsletter. Yeah, you need to have a 30-day notice of this prior.
I understand. I guess what I'm saying is, with the current status of ponds and everything else, there's nowhere to even, someone couldn't even get a boat and then put it on the rack. So So do we want to do it now? If you do, you do. I don't know.
Yeah, no, they could take these boats elsewhere. You know, we just want to get them out of our yard.
Okay,
and the other thing is...
So, Jay, so you're going to do that on May 31st. It's going to be auction. How many? Are there three still there?
There's five.
Five, okay. Five watercraft.
Yeah. Kayak and canoe. Yep.
Are there any canoes or kayaks? Sorry.
Yeah.
Go ahead, Kathy.
No. Where are you going to do this at?
Right down here at the DPW garage. Social distancing
DPW
outside.
DPW 1 on Conway Road. Okay. Yep.
Yeah. And I believe we had mentioned it will be at 8 o'clock in the morning.
Is there any possibility that we have boats or kayaks on racks now that are going to end up having to be removed?
That was my second question, a follow-up with apparently there are several. If Kelly's still there, he can probably confirm this, but I think folks are already starting to put their boats on the racks when, A, there's been no assignment of any kayak rack spaces. So I'm not sure what we should do about that.
We need to take them.
Put that in the newsletter.
What we've taken is from last year, and I believe there's a hold time before you can auction.
180 days.
Yeah, so that would be a whole separate auction down the road if anything else came up.
Right, but we can't auction off what's out there currently. But should we give people 10 days to remove those boats from the racks?
But the thing is, how do we identify who they are?
Well, all we can do is put in the newsletter. There's a select few people who've put boats on the kayak and rack spaces. They need to be removed by May 15th, and if they're not, they're going to be confiscated by the VDOE.
Yeah, and also on the website. That'd be great.
Okay, so it's a newsletter and website. Okay.
Yeah, hold on,
Jay. If we talk about May 15th as the date, that means we have to get the repairs done after May 15th, but really before Memorial Day weekend. So if we're going to open this up, obviously if we don't open it up, we don't open it up. But if we're going to, that narrows our window considerably. I don't have a calendar in front of me. Like, what day of the week is May 15th? When we start
Wednesday. Friday. It's on a Friday.
May 15th is right, but that would mean that whoever does the work is going to have May 18th to whatever it is to fix the racks. I don't even know if we have a list of – do we have a list of even what has to get repaired?
No, we don't. We hadn't had them inspected yet.
Yeah. Well, we're kind of leaving that up to whoever was going to do the work. Obviously, the big concern was to put that extra cross piece in order to support kayaks. So that was the major project with those racks.
So what would happen if we had Kelly figure out what needed to be purchased, make the purchase, and then whoever we hired to do it, the materials were sitting right there waiting?
Let me think about this. Does Kelly, do you feel comfortable doing that, Kelly? I hate to put you on the spot.
I just don't know the scope of what you're trying to get done. Are you just looking to nail these things back together? Or are we replacing? Some racks need complete replacements, but if you're going to leave it up to me to make the estimation on what gets done, I'd be replacing a lot more than maybe what you want, because I'd like to do it right.
And the main thing is that, you know, the arms that people put the boats on are so far apart that a lot of the kayaks, they're barely sitting in there, and that's why we end up with boats falling on top of the ones below them. So we were hoping, and maybe we can't do them all this year, to put some sort of a cross piece in there to give some additional support. I think that was the major concern with the kayak rack construction. Or do we just say, look, just go around, make sure they're safe, and that's all we're going to do this year?
That's kicking the can down. I think we always kick the can down.
Yep.
Let's just get it done right once, because it causes so many problems to not have it done right that next year it's like, let's reevaluate the kayak racks again and let's see who's, and it delays the process. And like, can we do something right once?
So Mr. Garside has not responded.
I don't think you want to deal with this.
Yeah, I don't think this is he needs this right now. He probably has plenty of other work.
Okay, all right. So do you want me to reach out to somebody that's local here to see if they can give us a price on that?
We should get three prices on it. But we need to have an equal scope of work.
$1,000 worth of work. I wouldn't bother with
people. That's fine. So just get one price. But we need to make sure we're comparing apples to apples. We can't just say, fix these things up. Kelly's question is a relevant one. What's it cost to do it right? What's it going to look like? Which pieces are going to be repaired? Which are going to be replaced? Like, it should probably be a color-coded system where black is replaced and red is repaired and, you know, something like that. I'm not trying to make a mountain out of a molehill, but if we're going to price this thing out, like, we should know what we're going to get.
All right.
Well,
even if we get one price, we should know what we're going to get.
Right.
So,
the racks are all labeled, so it can say, okay, rack, you know, D, it's going to be more than $1,000 if we go do this with all the racks, and we have to use special food lumber. It's going to be expensive.
Why don't we let Kelly go out and take a look at them all and then see which ones of those he would condemn right now because of being unsafe.
How about Kelly? We just have Kelly make a recommendation entirely and use that as our guidance.
Yeah. Okay.
If you're talking about positive support, you can't just support what's there because then you're hindering the space below it.
Right.
Putting the support underneath it. That's why I'm saying some of them, if you're going to try to achieve longer spaces for kayaks, you're rebuilding the rack.
Right.
Yeah.
Last year we went around, the DPW went around and shored up what we could. We rebolted, re-screwed, and made everything workable. Are we not doing that? And we started from scratch this year or just doing the same thing?
In other words, some of the wood on those racks is probably 20 or 30 years old. And some of the racks basically probably could be replaced entirely, including the posts that are in the ground.
Well, we have an option. We can ask Kelly to do that. Another option would be we could sit there and say, why don't we designate certain ones for kayaks and certain ones for any boat? Maybe that would help the problem. I don't really know. Is that reasonable, Kelly? Could we designate some for kayaks only and some for canoes or kayaks?
You can't, because then some people might put their kayak out 1 week and put a canoe out another week. Some people have a canoe and a kayak in the same rack.
Right.
Some people have two kayaks in one rack. That's the problem, is they're stuffing things into that spot.
Yeah, they're adding weight.
And it's just.
I mean, should we be saying there's a one boat max to these things?
With the current condition and age of them now, I would say that's probably was always the intention. It was just one per slot.
So why don't we? Why don't we have Kelly go around with the intent of making a recommendation that includes one boat per spot?
All right.
So that clarifies it for all the people. That would limit our cost a little bit. And going forward, the idea would be one boat per spot.
All right, but it still doesn't solve the whole issue of restructuring them so that you've got that additional cross piece in there.
Well, it kind of does, because if he knows someone's only going to be able to put one boat on there, then Kelly knows how much space is going to be necessary. It would kind of help him, right?
No. Because if you look at it, it'd be so much easier if we were standing there looking at these things as opposed to doing it virtually. Well, I think the first thing is, Lisa, have Kelly go around and determine if they're safe as is, and if they need some additional work to make them safe, that's got to be the basic that we have to get done this year.
All right. Hey, and one other thing, Kathy, for the newsletter. Valley Pride cleanup day was supposed to be this Saturday. Mm-hmm. Obviously, because of the pandemic, that has been canceled. But as some people may have seen, we are still doing individual cleanups at people's own convenience. I have the trash bags for this cleanup, and if we could add that to the newsletter or the website, they could reach out to me and I could provide them the bags at a safe location for them to pick it up. I've already done this for several of our neighbors who are already cleaning up some of our roads, but if that could be added to the newsletter as well, that'd be great.
Yep, I did have that in there, but I didn't know the contact information. So I think you had put that out on the info board, didn't you?
Somebody did, yeah.
Okay, all right. So if I can't find that information, I'll contact you. But yes, I had that on there to include.
Okay, thank you.
Another thing, kind of as an aside to the communications committee meeting, Isabel again offered her services to help us with the website. So I've been able to struggle through and at least get current things posted in the right spots. But to go in and add things and move things and create an actual calendar that's an integrated calendar on the front of the website, she would be a wonderful person to have access to our website to do those types of things. And I think it would be just at our request, not just her going in and thinking, oh, I think I'll move these things around or I'm going to add this to the website, but at our direction to go in and update things, create a nice spot for the Reinhardt Tank project, to do some of those things that we've talked about for a year now. So
yep.
I just like, you know, both Adam and Jay, your feedback on allowing Isabella to have access to the district website.
Well, I think what we should do is that ultimately the website should be the responsibility of the administrator, Donna. But what Donna has been asking for is access to the website and, of course, training. And I think Isabel, she's, I guess, got an IT background, and I know mm-hmm. I've done this before. Isabel can actually, what is called, dial in to Donna's PC and basically drive from her seat. In other words, she will not have the password to the site. Donna will open up the site and allow her to come in and then actually take over the steering wheel and show Donna how to place posts, how to place messages, how to take things down. And I think that'd be the best way. But Donna,
can I just interrupt here for a second? Ron Sandstrom has reached out to me that he would also be willing to show me how to work the website. It's just the his time frame, and I have to reach out to him with my time frame. But he said that he could show me, just as Jay explained what Isabel's doing, that he doesn't have the access, but he can take over the reins and show me how to do it. So, you know, all the help I can get, I'm appreciative.
Okay, great. All right, so we have
The most important thing here is we need somebody who's going to actually follow up. I mean, it's all great you get a volunteer, but, like, if people don't actually follow up when we need them to, it's a problem. And Donna is supposed to be at 20 hours a week, which limits the ability for someone else to do it. So how do you do it if Donna's 20 hours a week and someone else has got a full-time job? We'll never be able to get our website on.
And I was just concerned. I didn't want to dump more responsibility on Donna. And I don't think, and I don't know this for sure, but I don't think Nancy managed the website. She did what I'm doing, is just posting the things that came across the office to be posted, the minutes, the schedules, the annual meeting documents. But they didn't actually redo the website and add some things to it. I don't think she was that was not part of what she was doing. So I can show Donna basically the basics of adding posts to the website. That's, you know, once you've got the four or five steps that are required, and she can say, okay, click here, add this, check off these three boxes, copy, paste, and stick it into the appropriate window, she can do that. That once you know how to do it, it's not that complicated. It's time consuming,
right,
but it's not that difficult. But to have somebody go in with a website background that can go in and learn how to make changes and alter and freshen up the website, it's a whole different level.
Right, and I think it's important to have Donna as the point person for updating the website. For example, if we have a water main breakage, usually Ian will call this office or someone will call this office, and it would be great communications to be able to get that notice up on the website immediately. And I think Donna, if we give her the skill sets to do that, then that will be a great benefit to this office and to the communications for the district. Okay. So we have two people offering services, and that's actually great, because if Donna has an issue getting out a post on a water outage that's currently going on, and she can't get a hold of person A, then she has another backup in calling person B, saying, I'll turn on my screen, you can come in, drive, and show me how to get this up, because I'm having a technical problem at the moment. So I think that'd be beneficial to actually have two resources to fall back on.
Okay. So I'll let Isabel know that yes, we will accept her help, but it will be through that virtual window of getting into the website while Donna is sitting at, so because you have to do it while Donna's at her desk. She can't do this after hours or on weekends. So that's like Adam said, that's a little bit of a challenge too, is to find a time where both people are going to be available.
Yep. Go ahead.
No, Ron said that he could show me also, like on my computer at home. He can teach me that, which I'm willing to do, just for because of my hours. But whatever works for me.
Yeah, yeah. I can access the website remotely. So if I'm traveling and something needs to get posted, I can do it remotely through my laptop. So yes, that's the website is set up pretty easily so that can happen. Donna, you and I can talk about that this afternoon. But I'll let you know that we're willing to take her up, and I'll show you how to do the MailChimp email blast, as well as at least get a notification posted on the front page of the website. So anything that's important that needs to be that the public needs to be alerted to.
Great.
All right, Kate. For the sake of time, can we move on a little bit here?
Yep. Anything else on the newsletter?
Right. Yeah. Anything else on the newsletter from the audience?
If you think of something, just send me a quick email, please.
Okay. Great. Hey, thank you, Kathy.
All right. You're welcome.
I want to jump down to the water system. And we have the seasonal water request. We talked about that. We had a broken water shutoff valve that was reported. We have Reinhardt expenditures that are coming in. And I believe, well, actually, we have one more signature, Kathy, to get that checking account set up.
Yep.
I put in a correspondence about the Como PRV. Seems to have water coming out of the top of it. There was a report from Andrew about a bleeder that was still on at Altdorf, and I guess that's been taken care of. And we have two forms for capital reserve fund transfers here in the office.
Well, Dinah found the forms for me.
Okay.
She's under the opinion that we need a bill for it before we can request the funds.
Yeah, so I think, Dinah, are you still on?
No, she left.
Okay. What Dinah had said while I was here signing yesterday was that to extract the funds from the capital reserve fund or the trustees, she usually attaches the invoice for the exact amount. So with this, for example, with this SW Cole probe work, once we get the actual invoice, we'll be able to attach it to this form that's over there on the table, and we'll be able to send that into the trustees to get that money. So that'll be good.
You do have an actual bill. You do.
Right. Okay. The other thing I wanted to talk about was underwater system. I want to keep this now as a separate item on the agenda because there's going to be a lot going on with the Reinhardt tank. So we probably have a lot to talk about every week. So we might as well just create a whole subject matter for it. But Ian, in his contract for this year, stated that he'd be doing monthly reports as well as a once-a-month visit. And I know we haven't really gotten any reports so far, and I'm wondering, should we send him a letter or an email asking for the reports, as well as when is it going to be that he can visit with us on a once-a-month basis?
Okay. I mean, if we're paying for him to do that, then yes, he should be doing that.
Yeah. Okay, Donna, can you maybe just draft an email? Okay, Donna will draft an email with regards to that. There was also now...
We discussed this like 3 months ago, and I believe we picked a date for him to come to the meeting. So why don't we just go find the minutes that show what meeting that was supposed to be and just remind them, hey, we expect you here at this meeting.
Okay, so
we said it was like the second meeting of the month or something like that. We said it. We just haven't followed up, and we should probably send a weekly reminder. Oh, sorry, a monthly reminder, like the Monday before that meeting or the week before that meeting, just saying, hey, we want to remind you, we're going to see you this Thursday.
Okay, we'll do that. We'll look for it. We had two.
Do you know when about that was?
He said about 3 months ago. We stated it. That was probably be around January time frame, I believe it was, Adam.
It's my guess.
Okay, I'll look as well. We have, I believe, two water hookups. Is that correct? Well, we have one. We have a check for one on Barden Place.
This could never go, right? Then it wouldn't.
And we have a request for another one at number 21 Upper Lakeview. Is that right? The email that came through.
Oh, Ed Mayo. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. He's great inquiry. Yep.
Yeah. So we have an inquiry for one on Upper Lakeview at number 21, which is an empty lot. And we also have new construction going on at number 10 Barden. And they're looking for the ability to hook up to the water. The one at Barden has paid an $8,000 check. And the question is whether or not there's a water line at Barden. And I looked at the maps that we have, which are helpful, but I actually went down to that street and saw that one resident on one side diagonally across had water, and the resident right next to the lot also had water. So it appears there's a water line in front of that property, but whether there's enough pressure or not relies upon the hydrological test that's usually performed or had been performed in the past by Fluid Engineering. And I know, Donna, you sent two correspondents to Chris.
Yeah,
Albert.
Just I was told to get see who was cheaper for the test, whether it was Fluid or Jones and Beach. And Chris hasn't gotten back to me from that, the email that I sent out yet. And I sent it a reminder yesterday to see if I could get a price from him, and I haven't gotten a answer yet.
The other correspondence that
hold
came
on a second there. Hold on one, Jay. Hold on one second.
Yeah.
I just want to make sure that we didn't miss this on the ordinance list. We were going to change the ordinance for the water system to reflect that if someone applies, they get back the $8,000 minus whatever the cost is for the assessment.
If they don't get approved.
If they don't get approved, they would get back the $8,000 minus that cost.
Yeah, we have talked
I
about
just,
that. That's
I just
want
to make sure it's on the list. Yeah. Is it?
Oh yeah, yeah. No, exactly. Yeah.
Okay.
So now Chris Albert, though, Chris Albert's reply yesterday was that he needed a map to see exactly where that lot was or a lot number. Okay.
Yep. And also in that correspondence, and I just showed Donna a drawing down here that Chris could reference here in the office, or there's another one that I can direct them to, a link on the Madison Tax website that will help him as well. So I'll send that out to Chris as well as the office. But there's an actual large drawing here in the office showing the properties and those that have currently houses on them, or at least to a certain point in time. The other question on the correspondence, Kathy, on 21 Upper Lakeview, was that homeowner had referenced the fact that there's a lot of ledge up there. Yes, there is. And that he or she wanted to come across two district-owned vacant lots with the water line to his property. And
yeah, I saw him.
I'll just open that up for discussion. Kathy, I don't know. You had any opinions on it?
Yeah, the only reason that, well, my name, he sent that initial inquiry to me because he is from R.W. Nelson, and I had contact with him last year on potentially looking at the Little Loop project. So, again, that's the only reason that my name was attached to that email address. I think there was an email from Ian saying that we do not want to be running water lines across our vacant lot. It really needs to be located on the side of the roads.
Yeah. No, I agree with that.
Okay.
Do we know if there's a water line there? Why don't we start there? Do we know
there is
a water line in front of his property?
Yeah.
If there's a water line in front of his property, then it's a moot point. We don't need to run something on green space, and neither does he.
Yeah, that's what I didn't understand. I think maybe he believes that there's not. There's actually a water line in front of his property and also behind his property, which is a road called, it's a Class 6 road called Riggy Drive. And Riggy
mm-hmm.
Drive has a water line that goes down that entire length down to Schweizy.
Okay. Are we confirmed is 100% this isn't going to be another one of those Bergdorf fiascos where we told them that was a line and there wasn't?
I'm looking at a map, and it shows a water line in front of his lot.
So you're saying it's 75%?
Yeah, and if you go down Upper Lakeview, we all realize that there is a blow-off at number 33 Upper Lakeview, which we've talked about just previous in this meeting. So the water line extends all the way down that road till the end. So that's far beyond his house.
All right, so look, somebody told him that information. I don't know who it would have been. So it doesn't matter. Why don't we just have an email go back to him and say, look, there's a water line there. If you want to hook up into the water system,
now,
here's the policy.
So Donna, question.
Yeah?
There was an email that came through maybe even this morning. It might have been from Ian. If I can find it.
I'm giving the 5-minute warning in case we lose anybody on the line. I will dial back in, okay?
So Ian said, as far as I know, there is a name existing for the house number 31. So he's
in a death zone.
Water main is in that. It's entirely possible there's a water main. The water main is in that area. So
yeah.
So, you know, is that a yes or a no?
Yeah. Well, again, they have to look at maps and actually go out to the road, and, you know, you look for the evidence, too.
Right. So maybe we should have him on his most recent visit or his next visit up to go out and take a look at that area.
Yep.
Because they're on 20. So they're looking at 21 Upper Lakeview, and he's saying that there's water to 31, so... just depending on what direction that water main comes from.
Right.
Okay. So, what's the next step? Should we have Ian go out and double check that area and give us the absolute best possible answer to that question?
Yeah, I guess the question
would probably be.
Yeah, put it over there.
Would probably be to Chris Albert.
Okay.
And because he's going to, Ian will know whether there's a water line, but Chris will be able to tell us. We have to know if there's enough pressure. There can
right.
be a water line, but we need to know what the pressure is.
There's going to be enough pressure because we're doing a PRV right there, aren't we?
Well, yeah.
Well, maybe.
There's be enough.
No, that's a great point. We are doing
there's
a PRV, but do we give him approval before the PRV is done, or do we have to tell him he has to wait until after? Because I can almost guarantee that Ian's going to say no house should be added to that line without that PRV installed.
Oh, yeah. No, he's not doing it this year.
I don't know. Because this other guy, Nicholas Gage, he's ready to go. He's got a foundation in. And now he's asking for the water line.
At 21
yeah.
Upper Lakeview, he's not doing it this year.
Yeah, I'm not sure he could be. We don't know what his plans are. But I know the plans.
I know the guy. I'm telling you he's not.
Okay. Okay, but now what about number 10 Barden?
I don't know.
That guy has a foundation in place.
Right.
He's ready to go.
I'm telling you on the Upper Lakeview one, I don't think we need to go to Chris Albert on it and waste his time. There's going to be a PRV. There is a water line. We're good. Like, let's save the money.
But that's the process.
He's not applying anyway. He's not applying anyway.
No, but he wants an answer.
So all we need to do is tell him the line exists.
I'd want Ian to confirm that. He's saying right now it's entirely possible that the main is in that
right.
area.
I agree. We got to do is find out if the line exists. That's all we got to do. He's not going to be hooking up this year. He's not even applying.
Yeah. Okay.
He's not even applying.
Okay. So we can have Ian confirm there is a water line in that road.
Yes, that's And also respond to the property owner that we cannot run the water line across our green space lot.
Right. I agree with that.
Okay.
Well, which
so,
is irrelevant, right? Because if he's got the line, it's irrelevant.
So,
right,
that
exactly.
Was his question.
It is.
Okay.
Okay. So,
for my just so I'm telling the people the correct information for these water hookups with the $8,000 fee, isn't everybody required to have an engineering pressure test done?
Yeah.
And be told. I just don't want to give the wrong information out.
I thought we discussed this last year and said that we were going to potentially change the ordinance and say that we were going to not send it potentially if we knew with certainty that it wasn't needed. I thought we talked
about
that.
Hang on, Adam. Hang on. And we had our phone cut out. We're calling back in. Can you hear me, Adam?
I can hear.
I can hear you. I can hear you, Jay. Yeah.
Okay, good. No,
I've only got a couple minutes. So, all I'm saying is, I thought we discussed the idea of when we knew with 100% certainty there wasn't going to be an issue that we wouldn't send it out to a water engineer and throw $500 away. I thought we did that.
We talked about that. Whether we adopted it or not, I can't tell you without going back to the ordinance.
We adopted it because that would have to be in the ordinance itself.
So but maybe that was one of the things on the ordinance list we were going to get changed.
Right. Yes. But to date, that has not changed. So...
Right.
All of the requests should still have a determination by engineering that there will be sufficient water pressure to the upstairs of that home.
Yeah.
Or we should have these two public hearings for the water and beaches as soon as possible.
Well, yeah. the person on Barden, we should get that addressed right away. He's already
for sure.
His
agreed. For sure.
Okay. So if Chris can, based on what he knows about our water system, the house before it, the house after it, the house across the street. I think that they should be able to give us a definitive answer.
Yep.
All right.
So, sorry about that.
So I guess the question is, what should Donna do with the application that she has in hand?
Well, we have to have the test done, and the Ian will substantiate.
Okay.
Ian will substantiate that the problem's down there.
Okay. So you know what, Donna? Donna? When you...
Hang on just a second. Can you still hear us?
I can hear you, yep.
Okay. We're still on. The phone is just not operating correctly. Hang on. Trying to dial back in through the Polycon.
I gotta go. Is there anything that's for third person discussion or?
I mean, we're gonna go into non-public.
Right, guys can do that without me. Is there anything else?
I don't think so.
Is there gonna be public comment?
Yes, there will.
All right. Have a good day.
All right,
okay.
Thank you, Adam.
All right, so it's just Jay and Aj.
Okay, hang on, with Donna is still trying to dial in. But I have you on my phone. I have you on my phone.
Okay. I don't know.
Okay.
So we're here, right?
Yeah. Okay. We're going to drag the phone closer to our voices. There we go.
How's that, everybody?
That's good. No more squawking.
Hang on, folks. We're still trying to get in. We just got cut off. Can you hear me, Kathy?
Yep, I'm still here. I can hear you.
Okay. Yeah, I'm still talking to you through my cell phone, but the phone system here. The park call. All right. You want to just continue through my cell phone?
Yeah. Hang on, just dialing back in. Hold on.
It's this one. I think it's no call.
Just a sec. Trying another phone. Do you want to just use my cell phone? Yeah, I think we're going to use my cell phone for the remainder of this meeting, which is fine because we're all still hearing everybody publicly, and I'll just ask people that are here if they need to speak, come closer to this one. Okay, so with regards to this water hookup at number 10 Barden, Kathy, we've got to get an engineering determination as to whether to take and accept. We've already taken this guy's check for $8,000.
I mean, a little bit of echo here, but in a discussion with Ian last year sometime, the modeling that Fluid was doing, he said, was pretty close, but it was still not a mathematically accurate answer. And if Ian, because he's obviously as familiar with this as anybody, can go to the 10 Barden, he knows what's going on around 10 Barden, and I think if he says, you know what, I'm very confident that this hookup will be fine, that we should trust his judgment. Then if he says, you know what, I'm not really sure, I would feel better having it done through some sort of a modeling.
Okay.
I mean, do you agree with that or not agree with that?
Yeah. The modeling that's done is not the greatest, but I guess we'll have to accept. Because what happens is if we actually give a go-ahead for a house to hook up, and when that house is built, they get less than 35 pounds of pressure on their second floor, then the state requires us to fix the problem. And that is why we have now a pressure zone going in at the top of Reinhardt. That has been a problem for years. But if we knowingly give approval for the construction of a house now, today, with the new regulations of a minimum of 35 pounds at the second story, then we would be liable to correct that problem immediately. So that's the thing that, we will go your route, Kathy. Talk to Ian first, and then if he's uncomfortable, then we'll have to go get a study done. But let's do that. Right. Okay?
Okay.
So we can tell Mr. Gage that
so
you can call Ian.
Okay. What I'd like to do is, if Donna, and I hate to put more on you, but if you can find out when the next time Ian's in the district, just to let us know that he's going to be coming in on, whatever day, Wednesday at 10 o'clock, because I do want to talk to him about the Chicora pump house project, and maybe we can get together with him, one of the board members, and discuss this whole water modeling thing as well. I think he has some good insight as to that.
Okay.
All right. We got it. Thank you. Anything else, Kathy?
Not regarding the water, no.
Okay.
I just want, so after you find out from me, and then you'll tell me, just so I'm giving the correct information to the property owners.
Yep.
Right. And, we should probably develop a little form that says that the water operator inspected this lot on this date, and based on his observations that we are approving a hookup to the water system.
Yep.
Okay.
Good point. Thank you. Okay, moving on, I'm just going to real quickly open it up to anybody in the audience that might have a question on what we just discussed.
This is Paula Doyle. I have a comment or question.
Sure, Paula, go ahead.
I guess the question, can you just clarify, you mentioned, I think, several minutes ago, that the water operator is supposed to be doing a monthly status report and hasn't been doing that, and also supposed to show up for a monthly meeting and hasn't been showing up. Is that true?
To the best of my knowledge, yes.
Okay. So as somebody who's helping to fund his thing, this is sort of vendor management, basic vendor management. And, it's nothing personal against this water vendor, but he's not performing the services that he's contracted to perform. You shouldn't be paying him. You shouldn't pay his bill until he submits a monthly report and until he shows up for a meeting. He now owes you, if it's, say, since January, since this agreement, he actually owes you now 4 extra meetings. Shouldn't pay him to show up at the annual meeting, or you count that as one of the meetings. But, you know, what concerns me is that this is a vendor who's going to be helping manage a lot of other vendors through this huge multi-million-dollar project. And if he thinks that he can get away with not doing work that he's contracted to do, he's going to share that information potentially with other vendors. Just say, oh, don't worry about it. You don't have to do that. You don't have to submit this. You don't have to submit that. It doesn't matter. So, you know, I think that you have to make it clear. Now, if you guys for some reason don't think it's important that he submit a monthly report, then release him from that part of the agreement. Say, hey, never mind, we don't need these monthly reports. But if he's not doing work he's contracted to do, you should not be paying his invoices. And you have every legal right not to pay his invoices until he does the work that he is contracted to be doing. So, as I said, it's nothing personal, but I think you just need to manage the vendors a little bit more aggressively, because I think it sets a precedent for the district, and it concerns me that, you know, we're sort of letting people get away with stuff like that if that's the case. Thanks.
No, thank you, Paul. That's a great point. That was brought up here in the office by our treasurer as well yesterday. I'm not sure if when Ian or Chris Albert or when they meet, whether it be at Adam's house or outside of the office, if that's considered meeting the obligation for the meeting. I don't know. But we do need to bring Ian into the Board of Commissioners. That's what I thought the visits were supposed to be on a monthly basis. And Adam had indicated mm-hmm. that it might be the second Tuesday of every month. But I would also think that if it's in the contract of the water operator, that they would have reached out to us to say, I want to come visit you per my contract, to give you some update. But also the reports I thought would be automatic since it's be done electronically. But we really haven't received anything. So we'll be bringing that up with Ian to make sure that we get 4 months of reports and try to catch up on our visits.
Yeah. And again, you know, he did come to the district kind of at a moment's notice with the water issue at DPW1. So he has been making visits, but they're not documented the way we would like them documented and the way they should be documented.
Right. Yeah. To that point, Kathy, we're still owed, and he knows it as well, because I sent him an email, but he still owes us the swing tie information for that new curb stop shutoff for this building. So, and he also needs to fill out the work order that was issued to him to install that new water line. So, hopefully we'll be getting that. But your point is well taken, Paula. We the commissioners have to better manage our vendors. And hopefully our vendors will be amicable to our requests. But thank you for bringing that up. Okay, I want to move on to, we have no signature items, I don't believe. Is that correct?
No, not that I know.
Okay, and we've had a lot of correspondence. I'll just mention them. Danielle Craver, she's from the Intergovernmental Review Board from New Hampshire DES on the Rhinoc Tank. We have Bob Nelson, who was the individual asking for the 21 Upper Lakeview water hookup. We have myself, Jay Buckley. I had asked for the terms of the drinking water grant, and those were sent to me by DES. Adam wanted to amend the 11:14 minutes. We didn't do that.
No.
Okay. He didn't. Unfortunately, he had to leave, but he'll have a chance next week, obviously. Chris Albert, contract 2 award to Dawson's. That was an email that Chris sent to Dawson's Excavation announcing the award of the contract to them. Ralph Fletchin has a concern about $379,000 in excess above the warrant article for the Reinhardt tank.
He's still on the line.
And I don't know if you want to speak to that, Ralph, because Larry Leonard has a very similar concern of an email that he sent in. He said it was $380,000 over the allowance. So I don't know if, Ralph, if you want to talk to that.
Go
ahead.
Okay.
Yeah.
I think there is considerable, at least in my mind, concern about the appropriation. And essentially, some of the issues have been clarified. There's an offset of that with the grant. But at the annual meeting, Adam described the grant as a funding after we spent the $869,000. That is misleading and incorrect. It is pro rata as we go along in the project. So I was operating under the misconception that Adam brought up at the annual meeting, and I think Adam's comment was geared towards accelerating or increasing the appropriations for things that he wanted to do. And he got pushback from the audience as a result. So the issue at hand is really the fact that the appropriation of 869 is covered, is expanded by the 295 and also the $85,000 capital reserve. So those happen to equal the deficit in the appropriation. So technically, I think it's in order, but I don't think it's appropriate.
Okay, yeah, and I think that was also echoed by an email prior to yours from Larry Leonard, and that is why, if you go back to the second line of, well, you don't see my agenda, but I had asked specifically for the terms of the grant, because I wanted to know myself whether or not we were getting a monthly reimbursement from this grant, or was it to what you had stated, we had to first spend the entire warrant article of $869,000 before we got any of this $295,000. And also, as Adam had indicated, he wanted to correct what he said on November 14th, and that none of the $295,000 could be used for the Reinhardt tank. So there were a lot of statements made, a lot of confusion, I'm just going to put it at that, about how this all comes together. So I'm glad that people at least paid attention and noticed some of these discrepancies, but I think now that we have the terms of the grant, we can clearly see that it's going to be reimbursed on a monthly basis if we have expenditures that are deemed reimbursable by DES. All right. We also have an email from David Maudsley on the trust funds, and I believe, Kathy, you addressed that actually at our annual meeting. Is that correct?
Somewhat. He had a couple of comments. Did you read that email, Jay, first of all?
Yeah, I did, okay. Yeah.
The second point was what we were trying to clarify, but then we got a change in direction by DRA. So
right.
Basically, the $8,000 water hookup account that we have possession of, so we take the money in, and it's in a separate account, and then we expend out of that as the commissioners see fit. That is, according to David, which he is correct, and I knew this before, the village districts cannot control their own capital reserve fund money. So that money has got to be transferred out of our account, and we have to have it managed by the trustee of the trust funds.
Right.
So at first we thought that it was adopted under the wrong RSA because we were keeping the money, but in conversations with DRA, that is true for a town, but for a village district, we cannot have control of the money regardless. So we have to, when the audit's done and all the dust is settled, we'll have to move that money into a trust fund that's managed by the trustee of trust. So he is correct
yep.
about that.
Right.
And we knew that.
Okay.
We knew that, but it was difficult to explain. But he's right, and we are on board, and we are going to make that change.
Okay. And thank you very much, Kathy, for working that out with DRA.
Okay. It's kind of a convoluted situation. So
it is. It has been for years, but we just never recognize it. But thank you.
Yeah. And the other thing also, that I think and just sort of kind of for transparency's sake on the trust funds, I had a long conversation with the auditor, and what we'd always done in the past was if we had a expense that was funded by capital reserve funds, we incorporated it into our budget, meaning we deducted it from what we actually spent, which is what we did last year. The better way to do it is to keep the expenditure with the line item and then have separate line items showing that we were offsetting budget expenses by capital reserve. So instead of just blending it into the account, keep it as a separate line item. And she said that's a better way to do it, and I agree. So that there's no concern about, oh, you underspend the budget, but you took $80,000 out of capital reserve. So we're going to keep that as a separate line item now, so there'll be no question.
Okay, great. Thank you.
Okay. All right. I hope that makes sense.
Yep. Okay. And, of course, we mentioned that Chris Albert sent out emails announcing the winner of the Reinhardt Tank contract. And we had also the contract from SW Coal, but Donna's going to get some clarification on that. There was one other thing that was mentioned in that contract from SW Coal, and it may not be applicable here, is that they will not provide any traffic control when they're doing probes in the road. I don't know which road they're doing. Kelly, do you happen to know, is it going to be Briston, Stockton, Aspen up and around the Reinhardt area? But I don't believe we have enough traffic, especially these days with the pandemic, to worry about traffic control officers. Yeah. So that's all I got on the correspondence. So, again, I'm going to go right to public comment and open it up to the audience if anybody has anything that they would like to say, issues or questions or concerns that they'd like to have answered. Now is the time, so please go ahead. Don't be shy. Okay, I guess with hearing nothing, what I'd like to do while still in the public session is go into non-public to talk about the contracting of someone to assist with some skill sets in the office. So at this point, I'm going to terminate the call. Kathy, I think what I'll do is I'll call you back on my cell phone.
Okay. We're making a motion to go into non-public.
Yeah, and we have
RSA
to have a roll call.
Yeah,
oh,
get your RSA number.
Hang on. Yes, Donna's got it right here, and it's going to be the same one as same one as last week. RSA 91A, colon 3, B, which is the hiring of any person as a public employee. No, that's not the one. Where was the one for contracting?
Oh.
Acquisition matters discussed in public.
I mean, I guess it is hiring, but it's not hiring an employee. It's hiring a contractor.
Right, hiring a contractor. Yep.
What was
and
that?
So
is hiring a contractor non-public, though, Jay? Or
that again?
Employee? Is hiring a
contractor?
Yeah, last week we weren't, sure how that person would fit in. But if it's
what it was, Kathy, last week we went into RSA 91A, colon 3, section 2B. Which is the hiring of non-elected officials. That would be a contractor.
Okay, so it's not just employees. Okay, all right.
Right.
So we're going into non-public under that same RSA.
Yeah. Okay.
Okay.
So
okay.
I want
to make sure get back to you.
We'll have a roll call vote to do that. I vote yes.
And Kathy votes yes. Yes.
Okay, thank you. And thank you, everybody, for signing on. Appreciate it. Take care.
Thank you. All right. So, Jay,
call
you want
back,
me to call you back? I'll call, want me to call you back? Apparently.